We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you being here. Gather around, have a seat. Maybe go two AirPods, maybe go one. Depends on if you're busy. No matter what, no matter whether or not you are a one or two AirPod listener, or maybe we're just blasting in the car speakers. I appreciate you tuning in. You need to know this. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. If you don't know what Prize Picks is, daily fantasy sports, duh. 2-6 player stat projections. You're picking more or less. You're watching the winnings roll in. You're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold and use the promo code gold, and they'll match your first deposit of up to $100. All right, so if you put in 100, you're going to have 200. Okay, prizepicks.com/gold. Today, we're going to just talk about it. We're going to talk about the 49ers. We're going to talk about the 49ers roster. We are going to begin our 49ers post-draft roster breakdown, going from position to position, breaking down the newcomers, the new competitions, where I expect, you know, the meat of the roster to lie. Who makes it? Who doesn't make it? We'll probably end the roster breakdown when we get through every position with like a 53-man roster projection. But for the next couple weeks, we're just going to be breaking down the roster. And again, where's the competition? Who's making the squad? Who's going to have to fight for their spot? Who's on the bubble? Who's on the outside looking in? How do the rookies fit in? Just kind of breaking down each position and making sure that we are all prepared for what's to come. And when I say what's to come, I mean OTAs, training camp, preseason, and then we're there. We are not far off. Like, I understand that the NFL, the next NFL season seems like miles away, but you got to understand how the NFL is built. You've got rookie mini camp, May 10th and 11th. That, as I'm recording, is 4 days away. Then after that, you've got organized team activities, which is the first time where we can start to hear about one-on-ones, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s. There's no contact. They're not in pads. That's the first time we're going to hear from the beat writers on the ground, you know, who's doing what, who's having fun. Still matters, okay? Still matters. Doesn't paint the whole story, but still matters. Okay, so that's May 20th through the 21st, May 23rd, May 28th through the 29th, and May 31st. So right there, and there's a little bit of time between rookie minicamp and OTAs. But to me, once OTAs start, then that's when you start getting a slow and steady stream of news. You've got mandatory minicamp at the beginning of June, June 4th through the 6th. And then training camp starts late July. So obviously there's a big gap there, June to late July. But if you're going by months, like, you're not going to go another month without hearing stuff about the 49ers, hearing relevant things about the 49ers. And then obviously to me, as I've always said, once training camp starts, which is late July, it's all go. That's essentially to me when the season starts. Sure, it's not a game. It's not a regular season game. But you hear about roster competitions, you hear about what's going on. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't need me to convince you of that. You know how it is. And I am actively planning loosely to be at a large chunk of training camp this year. If you haven't listened to Striking Gold, man, I can tell that my nose is just totally plugged up right now. If you haven't listened to Striking Gold, if I go to training camp, you're getting a podcast every day from the 49ers facility at training camp, breaking down the practice, what happened, what didn't happen, who rose, who fell, that sort of thing. So hopefully I can get there because training camp is a blast. I love being there and I love bringing you guys like a podcast, you know, every day, breaking down real things. Right now I'm looking around the room trying to find something that I could like blow my nose with. You know, I'll mute myself, of course, but I'm like, as I'm talking, realizing that I'm like more plugged up than I thought I am. See if I can do this in 3 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay, I'm back. How long was that? I don't know. Time it later. So I apologize if I'm just a little bit more Kermit the Frogish than I typically am. It's not easy, you know, being green. All right. So that's the offseason. Rookie minicamp, May 10th and 11th. OTAs running from May 20th to May 31st. Mandatory minicamp, early June, June 4th through the 6th. And then your next hit date after that is late July. Okay, for training camp. And then we're rolling. You know what I thought of as I was about to jump on, and I think I'm about to do it right now, is I got on Google. I searched 49ers and then I clicked news and I was like, I wonder if it would be a funny podcast segment if I just ran through super fast all the news headlines on Google when I hit news and just reacted to them. Reactions are like all the wave now. Like you search like YouTube, like bass player reacts to this song, you know, opera singer reacts to this guy's vocals. Music teacher reacts to something not related to music. You know what I mean? Like, music teacher reacts to this scene. And you're like, what do these two have to do with each other? Everybody's reacting to something on YouTube. Tim the Tap Man and Dr. Disrespect did like a back and forth for like a few videos where it was like Tim reacting to Doc, reacting to Tim, reacting to Doc, reacting to Tim, reacting to Doc. It was classic. But that's what you get with Dr. Disrespect. You guys should know that, by the way. Okay, so without further ado, I'm Googling 49ers. I'm hitting news. Okay, 49ers news. Jacob Cowing named the biggest sleeper for the 49ers draft. I could buy into that. Obviously, you need to be a little bit on the low key to be a sleeper. But Jacob Cowing's interesting, man. A lot of people are going to sleep on him because he's 5'8", 170. But the dude runs a 4.3 and runs great routes and has good hands and... Good hands. Not great hands, good hands. And, you know, adds an element to the 49ers offense that maybe they haven't had for a while. Next headline. Will 49ers have Dominic Pooney compete to start at right guard? That's a great question. We're going to talk about that in the roster breakdown. But Pooney is a little bit of like a X factor. Where is he going to start? But... to me, I mean, you've got Trent Williams, untouchable. Everybody else is touchable to me. Not in a weird way. But like, left guard, Aaron Banks. Pooney played left guard and left tackle. He could probably be an upgrade over Aaron Banks. I understand Aaron Banks is a second-round pick. He's been okay. But in terms of his performance in-game, he could be upgraded on. Jake Brendel, center. Veteran guy. He's okay. He's reliable. Could absolutely be upgraded on. Pooney can play center. Right guard. As of right now, John Feliciano. Surprisingly good, yes, last year. Everybody talks about, as of right now, a competition at right guard as if it's the weakest position. But with the way John Feliciano played last year, I'm not so sure it is. I think you'd have an easier time replacing center, left guard, or even right tackle than John Feliciano. Colton McKivitz at right tackle. Now, that's a massive switch, going all the way from left tackle to right tackle. Pooney played left tackle mostly. That's a massive switch. And then, there's nothing saying that Pooney can't still play left tackle. Like, everybody always, we were laughing about it. This tackle class was so amazing, yet so many of the tackles were listed as, probably a guard at the next level. And there's nothing saying that that has to be the case. Pooney might face an uphill battle, but he could be a tackle. He could replace Colton McKivitz. He could replace Trent Williams when Trent Williams retires. It's weird. Pooney can go anywhere. He's the ultimate X factor in this competition. Is he going to start? Is he good enough to start? And if he is, where is he going to do that? Okay. Interesting. That's the second headline. Terrell Owens wants to join Son Tariq on 49ers. Compares it to LeBron James and Bronny. Jesus. All right, moving on. T.O. offers blunt response to the 49ers handling of Deebo and Ayuk. I can only imagine what that says. I mean, they didn't do anything with Deebo and Ayuk. They're on the team. Yeah, there were hella rumors, but that's all they were, rumors. They're both still on the team. Former 49ers receiver bashes team, nothing short of entitlement. I believe that was... name. Let me just click it. I don't want to have to click on the headline. I just want to react to the headline. Hold on. Willie Snead, that's right. What do you know? A dude who was only good enough to make it on the practice squad is pissed that he wasn't on the regular roster more. I got no problem with Willie Snead, but of course you think you belong on the roster. And maybe he did, but dude, are you on one right now? I don't know. 49ers impressively loaded at receiver entering 2024 season. Yes, they are. 49ers roster depth chart filled with newcomers at cornerback. Yes, it is. Cowboys linebacker explains why he spurned 49ers in free agency to sign with Dallas. Eric Kendricks just wanted a bigger role. Thought he would kind of play more of a reserve role with the 49ers, which when Dre Greenlaw comes back, he's not wrong. He could be the third linebacker, which still plays a decent amount of snaps, but he's certainly not one of the two main guys. With the Cowboys, is he going to be one of the two main guys? Probably. How 49ers wide receiver trio of Ayuk, Samuel, and Pearsall could alter offense. How could they alter the offense? I mean, really, I'm not clicking on it. I'm just reacting to the headlines. I mean, the only new addition there is Pearsall. In replacement of Jennings that you're not mentioning. So I'm not sure there would be too much altering of the offense. Former 49ers GM Scott McLuhan is not a fan of running back Isaac Garendo. We'll talk about it. We're going to hit running backs today. Terrell Owens would be pissed if he was the 49ers star receiver. Terrell Owens was always pissed at something. 49ers mailbag. Which rookie is best poised to make a splash? Which rookie is best poised to make a splash? Huh, that is a good question. That's probably the one we're going to leave off on. I don't want to do this the whole time. Which 49ers rookie is best poised to make a splash? What do you guys think? I'm tempted to say Renardo Green. The 49ers have a need at either outside or nickel corner, depending on where they decide to slot people. He could start as a rookie. Malik Mustafa, depends on how Talanoa Hufanga is doing, could make a pretty big splash. Also depends on how many snaps Ricky Pearsall is able to carve out for himself in the replacement of Juwan Jennings. It would have to be in replacement of him. I guess they could go four receiver sets. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if Dominic Pooney wins a job, then maybe he, you know what I mean? That's what I like about the 49ers draft class. There's a lot of ways in which a lot of these players could carve out a role. as long as they're decent. I mean, that's the whole thing. As long as they're decent. All right, so let's get into this. The first position group that we are going to start with. Actually, you know what? While we're here, we might as well, before we get into the two roster groups that we're going to break down, we might as well have a quick word about Prize Picks. We might as well. I mean, Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You heard me talking about it at the beginning of the show. You're not betting against other people. You're not playing against sharks. You're not up against thousands of other players. It's just you and the numbers. 2 to 6 player stat projections. You're picking more. You're picking less. What's your sport? Because it sure as heck ain't just football. I'm on here right now, logging into Prize Picks as I talk about this. Hockey, baseball, basketball, more hockey, more basketball, soccer, baseball, League of Legends, CS2, tennis, kickboxing, soccer. Like, you know what I mean? Like cricket, darts, whatever your flavor is, Prize Picks has got you covered. Okay, 2 to 6 player stat projections. You're picking more or less. You're watching the winnings roll in. Y'all already know what I like best about Prize Picks. The app, the website, so easy to use, so quick, so quick. You can have a lineup set in 60 seconds. So what you need to do is you're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD. That's going to tell them that you came from here, from the Striking Gold fam. All right? And what they're going to do is match your first deposit up to $100. Okay, so if you put in $100, there's going to be $100 waiting for you for a total of $200. Okay, prizepicks.com/gold. All right, don't forget about it. Daily fantasy sports made easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, position group breakdowns. We're going to start with quarterback. And there's not a lot of breaking down to be done here, but I still think it's worth talking about. I still think, obviously, the group is worth talking about. Now, let's all take a pause here. Let's all take a pause. Let's look up at the sky. Find a window. Let's look up at the sky. And if you believe in God, I want you to say thank you to him right now, because we now get an off season where very little quarterback discussion is needed. And I understand that drives a lot of content. And as a podcaster, I should probably be wishing there was more quarterback drama. But the 49ers had a first round pick this year. That means the Trey Lance trade is in the past. Trey Lance is not even on the roster anymore. The only remnant of Trey Lance on this roster is Malik Mustafa, who was picked with the fourth rounder that was traded for Trey Lance in exchange for Trey Lance. There's a slight competition for backup quarterback. And that's it. There's absolutely no mystery as to who the 49ers starting quarterback is. And I just like, I kind of just let my head lean back a little bit, and I'm just looking up at what I know would be the sky if I could get up and get away from this mic. And just thanking our Heavenly Father that I do not have to talk about quarterbacks this offseason. I'm going to knock on wood, because if something were to happen to any of these, a quarterback, I'm not even going to say it. then I would be thrust right back into that mess. But I just wanted to take a minute for that. Of course, at the helm of this ship, you've got Brock Purdy, which I still just can't quite get over it. I know I mentioned it at the end of the pod with Crocker. I still can't quite get over the Brock Purdy story. I still can't believe it. The dude is the last pick of the draft. The last pick of the draft, and he's 17-4 in the league. In his career, that dude has completed basically 69% of his passes, which is nice. For 5,654 yards, 44 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions. At 9.2 yards per attempt. Last season, Purdy was 12-4. I don't think that includes the playoffs. I mean, that's 17, obviously. But, like, dude. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to just leave dead air on a podcast, but just think about what happened here. And I'm not anointing Purdy, but I don't necessarily think... I think we've officially gotten past the point of like him needing to prove something to everybody, to anybody. Like in 2023 in the regular season, Purdy was 12-4. He completed just under 70% of his passes for 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. 9.6 yards per attempt. Like, dude, like this is not normal. It's unbelievable to me. Everything he does off the field, it all fits. It all fits. Wasn't a big rusher, but he added a couple touchdowns on the ground. I mean, technically he had 39 carries for 144 yards. A whopping 3.7 yards per attempt. But look, I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I'm still just in awe of the Brock Purdy story. And the questions that surround him now are, this is going to be his first offseason as the starter healthy. You know, last offseason he was recovering from his elbow injury. No problems. Dude had a couple photos taken of him and looked absolutely jacked. You know, you got to think about it, like, Purdy listed right here at 6'1", 220 pounds. 6'1", 220. That's like the size of an NFL linebacker. He's not small. He's small for a quarterback. He's short for a quarterback. But in terms of the width, the strength, the girth, like the dude is pretty built. He's got big legs. He's got big calves. He's a strong guy. That's why he's not as easy to bring down as a lot of people want to believe. So you've got this just pariah at Purdy, you know, as Purdy. And will his first offseason as the starter healthy, like, what kind of impact does that have on his play? Is Purdy going to get better? Statistically, Purdy can't get much better. I mean, he can, but it's like it would be so marginal, you know, because his statistics are that good. What does a better Purdy look like? You know, what does a better Purdy look like? What is he doing? I think Crocker kind of nailed it pretty well, which was a better Purdy is making plays, and he's done some of this. Think about that, that play he had where he threw that touchdown, what should have been a touchdown, excuse me, to Brandon Ayuk in the corner of the end zone. I think it was late in 2022, where he made like two or three guys miss. Kind of scrambled towards the sideline, and right before he hit the sideline, he kind of put the brakes on, made another guy miss, and threw a perfect pass to the corner of the end zone to Ayuk, who did a toe drag swag type of thing and just dropped the ball. You know, I think that a better Purdy is somebody that's become more so comfortable within the offense that he starts to operate more outside the bounds of it. And that's not to a point where it's a detriment to the offense. It's a point where things have broken down in the past. Like, you know, the plays in the Super Bowl where the two third downs where in the regular regulation, where the corner got a free blitz right in his face. You know, and he kind of just threw it into the ground. The 49ers had to settle for a field goal. You want to see Purdy, like, pump fake, get the DB to jump, get under that, and hit at Ayuk, who's been left wide open because the corner blitzed. Or maybe he sees the corner blitzing just a little easier earlier than he did and throws it right over the top of him to hit Ayuk in the open. He does that. The 49ers basically kill all the clock, kick that field goal or score a touchdown, and the Chiefs lose. The 49ers win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm not trying to be unfair to Purdy. I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about how he gets better, it's in those moments that he gets better. In the overtime, when Chris Jones got let free, Purdy maybe takes a couple more steps back, buys him another second, and actually hits Juwan Jennings with like this floater that lands where he knew Jennings was going to be. Instead, he kind of just immediately sailed it out of bounds. It's stretching the limits and making plays like that is how I think Purdy improves. And again, I just said it, but I'm not trying to paint some crazy, unrealistic standard for Purdy. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying a quarterback who's playing by the numbers as good as Purdy is playing, those are the plays, you know, the plays that put him in the shadow of like a Mahomes, you know, where there's nothing there. This looks impossible, but he finds a way to make it happen. That's how Purdy improves, and that comes with confidence within a system where you understand how a play is supposed to go. You're also thinking about the plays, the way in which this play can break down, and how you can still take advantage of that and make a play happen. You know, it's beginning to, you know, it's like the Matrix. It's like moving into the NFL Matrix where you see the numbers and you can stop the bullets in midair type of thing. You know, I think that's where a Purdy getting better does. It's just making plays that are outside the bounds of what we expect from a standard NFL quarterback and start making plays that we expect from exceptional NFL quarterbacks. And Purdy has done this. We have, like I said, we have seen these types of plays. Sorry, I ran out of breath there for a little bit. Get a little excited here. We have seen these plays from Purdy, but seeing them more often and creating success in spite of what's been broken down around him is, you know, what Purdy looks like, an improved Purdy looks like. And he has the athleticism. He has the shake. He has the movement skills. He has the accuracy to do it. Going to be fun to watch. So behind Purdy, I've got in my notes that somebody did a quarterback ranking and it had Purdy 16th. And then of course, within the description, it was Purdy's got hella weapons. That's why he's 16th. To me, anybody that says that, one, a lot of teams got weapons. I mean, Joe Burrow was rolling around with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon. Nobody was discrediting Joe Burrow. Now, I get that's a different type of quarterback, but to me, it, like, if you think that Brock Purdy's success was just because of his weapons, you didn't watch the games. Of course they contributed, as they do with any NFL quarterback. But that dude created plays. He elevated Kyle Shanahan's offense without question. You can't just chalk things off. It's just so lazy as, oh, he's got good players. Well, yeah, no shit. Most good teams have good players. Patrick Mahomes, you know, obviously had a pretty shitty receiving core this year, but he still had Travis Kelce. And those two found a way over and over and over. Rashee Rice wasn't bad. Sounds like he's not the greatest driver. We'll see where that goes. Anyways, way off topic. Behind Purdy, you've got Brandon Allen. You've got Josh Dobbs. You've got the new undrafted free agent, Tanner Mordecai, which sounds like a combination of Mordor and Uruk-hai. So any Lord of the Rings nerds out there Shout out to you guys. Now, again, I'm not going to draw this out to be some big consequential competition. Is it a competition? There's probably there's a legit competition for the QB2 role behind Brock Purdy. But I would assume that both Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen both make the roster. It's just kind of which one's going to be that quarterback three. Josh Dobbs had a lot of experience this last season. You know, played for Arizona and Minnesota combined. He went 3-for-9, 3 wins, 9 losses. But he completed 63% of his passes for essentially 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He also had 77 carries for 421 yards and 6 touchdowns. So the dude has a little bit of shake to him. And if you add in his, if you're going all-purpose touchdowns, he had a decent ratio of touchdowns, interceptions, if you're including the stuff on the ground. 6'3", 215, you know, he's kind of a bit more of a prototypical quarterback than Brandon Allen or Brock Purdy are. Obviously, he's got nothing to, I'm not comparing him in terms of a roster competition to Purdy, but we'll see. Brandon Allen, he's been on the 49ers roster for a couple of years now. The poor guy, Brandon Allen, the poor guy has experienced some Super Bowl losses. I think he was on the Rams practice squad when they lost to the Patriots like 13-3 in the Super Bowl. I think he was on the Bengals as the backup when they lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl. And he was on the 49ers as a backup when they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, so Brandon Allen, shout out to that guy, dude. He has experienced some Super Bowl losses. Hopefully he gets to experience a win sometime soon. But there is a competition between him and Josh Dobbs to be the QB2. Now, I didn't pull it up, but the 49ers offered Josh Dobbs a contract that would suggest that they like him as the quarterback too. Let me see if it's on Over the Cap. It's just basic. Josh Dobbs signed a one-year, $2.5 million contract with the 49ers, all of which is guaranteed. So, I mean, that's kind of a backup contract, but he's going to have to earn it. Kyle Shanahan's scheme, Josh Dobbs, knows rocket stuff, should be able to learn it. We'll see where it goes. And again, you've got Tanner Mordecai back there. Mordor, Uruk-hai, Lord of the Rings. Does that bode well? We'll see. I mean, one quarterback to rule them all. I'm not sure if that's Tanner Mordecai, though. Dude has been in college a long time. He played 3 years for Oklahoma, sporadically, very sporadically, not as a starter. Played four games for Oklahoma, then played in 12 games for SMU. You know, put up some solid numbers there. 39 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and then got a little bit of run with Wisconsin as a senior. So you could peg him for a role on the practice squad. Definitely a camp arm. But not a threat. All Tanner Mordecai is doing is taking the Hobbits to Isengard. You know, he's not really challenging for a roster spot. Okay. So that's quarterbacks. I got a lot of love for Brock Purdy. Really looking forward to seeing how his situation evolves. And we'll see what goes down between Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs. Which, you know, to me, if you're going to look at a backup quarterback, which one of those two has a better chance to win you a football game in a pinch? You need one, maybe two games. I lean Josh Dobbs. But again, if you're rolling out your backup quarterback, you've got bigger problems. Okay. Running backs. The next position we're going to hit today. We got quarterbacks, running backs. Interesting conversation to me. Let me see. I'm going to take this. Then I'm going to move all this. So I'm organizing my windows. Okay, I'm going to put my running back stuff over here. Now, at the top of the running back depth chart is obviously Christian McCaffrey, the absolute engine of the 49ers offense. Just remember the 49ers trade for Christian McCaffrey was graded as like a C. Never forget. To me, one of the most heartbreaking aspects of the Super Bowl was that Christian McCaffrey didn't get a ring after the season that he just produced with the 49ers. If you haven't heard about it in a while, the dude ran 272 carries for 1,459 yards, 14 rushing touchdowns. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry, the highest of his career. Just double checking. Yep, highest of his career. He also had 67 catches for 564 yards and 7 touchdowns. The dude had over 2,000 all-purpose yards. It's his second season in which he played in every game, so I understand that there were two seasons there where Christian McCaffrey had to deal with an injury, but now this is his second season where he was completely healthy for both. But to know that the 49ers got that season out of Christian McCaffrey and went to the Super Bowl and couldn't take home a ring, that's painful. You want to see a player like that get rewarded for what was an unbelievable season. That being said, and I'm just kind of just poking and prodding a little bit here, somebody fumbled in the Super Bowl, and his name sounded a lot like Christian McCaffrey. Could have been wrong. And that is also heartbreaking because you know that that fumble, McCaffrey probably thinks about that every day. And I'm not saying that jokingly. He probably thinks about that every day. And if there's one thing that's going to drive Christian McCaffrey to repeat, if not exceed, what he did last year, it's that fumble. The 49ers lost by what, 3 points? 4 points? When Christian McCaffrey fumbled, the 49ers were driving down the field with authority. You know, if, ands, or buts, whatever, doesn't matter anymore. But man, I guarantee you that fumble haunts his soul down to the very core of his being. Okay, I'm serious. Behind Christian McCaffrey, we've got Elijah Mitchell. Is this it for Elijah Mitchell? Is he going to make the roster? I can't hear you, but you tell me. Is he on the roster again? Elijah Mitchell has played in 11 games in 21, 5 games in 22, and 11 games in 23. He had 207 carries in 21, but he only had 45 carries in 22 and 75 carries in 23. Are the 49ers really, are they missing out on something if they don't keep Elijah Mitchell? I'm not so sure. And I have a ton of respect for what Elijah Mitchell did, especially as a rookie. I mean, he became basically a running back one. 277 carries, 963 yards, 4.7 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns. Like, he was a legit running back, but it hasn't necessarily panned out like that. He suffers a lot of injuries. He's missed a lot of time. And I don't think the 49ers want to have somebody that a running back too, in which they're going to question the availability. You know, like, if you're only getting limited carries and yet you're still not available, you know, the best ability is availability, right? The old saying. So to me, there's a lot of mouths to feed behind Elijah Mitchell. It would not surprise me if he did not make this roster this year. Now, there's other skill sets to be wary of. Like, one reason I've heard mentioned before that Jordan Mason doesn't get on the field more is because he's not as good as pass protection as Christian McCaffrey or Elijah Mitchell. And therefore, he's kind of only on the field when they're going to run it. And that gives the 49ers offense less versatility. Do not quote me on that. It's just kind of something that I've heard mentioned a couple times. And the 49ers want their running backs to be able to pass protect for obvious reasons. They want to be able to have any running back in there and run any play. And if you're a running back that is a liability during pass downs, then you're not going to play. That's probably why Jordan Mason only got 40 carries. Now, he did manage 206 yards and 3 touchdowns, you know, 5.2 yards a carry in 2023 and 6 yards a carry in 2022. So Mason runs like an absolute beast, really physical back, runs with his hair on fire. You could tell he wants the opportunity, but there has to be a reason the 49ers don't want to use him as much. One reason the 49ers don't use any other running back is because Christian McCaffrey is just that damn good. And setting him on the field whether he moves an inch or not, stresses out a defense because he's so versatile and such a weapon. So one, tough to pull Christian McCaffrey off the field. Two, tough to put you on the field if you have limitations to your game. But again, I don't want to write that in stone. Just something I've heard. So Elijah Mitchell, solid back, misses time, misses a lot of time. Jordan Mason, very solid back, but hasn't been given the opportunity you would expect. Yeah, it's hard to even say that when you know that Christian McCaffrey's the lead back. But neither Elijah Mitchell nor Jordan Mason have really done anything to like say these guys are untouchable. Do I think they made the make the roster? I lean yes. But now you've got fourth round pick Isaac Grendo. You've got undrafted free agent Cody Schrader. And they added Patrick Taylor Jr. to the list. I mean, there's a world where it's like Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Isaac Grendo, and Cody Schrader. Or is it Christian McCaffrey, Isaac Grendo, Cody Schrader, you know, and they only go with three backs or something. You know, like, I'm not saying that the new guys are going to make the roster, but I don't think that the Jordan Masons and the Elijah Mitchells have just done so much that their roster place is guaranteed. Now, Isaac Grendo's a little bit of a paradox to me. He's a little like he spent 4 years at Wisconsin and never had more than 64 carries in a season. You know, and in his senior season at Wisconsin, he had 64 carries for 385 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was never the guy. Not until in 2023 when he went to Louisville, and I still don't think he was the starter, but he did manage 132 carries for 810 yards and 11 touchdowns, 6.1 yards a pop. He also caught 22 passes for 234 yards. So he's got a well-rounded game, but there's got to be a reason he was never that dude. You know, and he is one of the most athletic running backs to ever test at the combine. The dude runs a 4.3. 6 foot, 225 pounds. Like, you can see the appeal. He's a big dude that runs real fast. And once he sees that lane, it's over. But he doesn't have a ton of wiggle. You know, he's not going to make you necessarily miss in space. He might truck you because he's a big dude. But you got to wonder, like, and I'm not being pessimistic, but is this just another Kyle Shanahan 49ers mid-round whiff on a running back? They've got plenty of those. Joe Williams, Trey Sermon. I'll remember his name in a little bit. It's just, it always seems like the 49ers pick the better running back as the undrafted free agent. I know we kind of joked about it with Crocker, but it's like the 49ers got Cody Schrader as an undrafted free agent. That dude's got something different to him. Tyrion Davis Price, my bad. Tyrion Davis Price. You know, it was Tyrion Davis Price in 22. It was Trey Sermon in 21. It was, where's he at? Joe Williams in 2017. And almost every year of those, either they had a late rounder like Elijah Mitchell or they had an undrafted guy like Jordan Mason that seemed like the better play. Or like Matt Breida, stuff like that. So the 49ers' inability to just be in lockstep as an organization on running backs, it's like Shanahan wants his guys. Who's the running backs coach wants? He's the one calling everybody up. Who do the scouts think's better? It just seems like there's just some randomness happening at the position. And maybe even a little bit of luck. But Isaac Grendo, we'll see. I'm just not exactly sure what to expect. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a pretty significant role on kick returns. Again, those are going to be like weird, drawn out running plays. You know, a guy with that 6'1", 225 and has 4.3 speed and then gets a running start while they're, you know, that line of players blocks out in front of him. That might be what the 49ers are going for. Is he good enough to see significant snaps in replacement of JP Mason, Elijah Mitchell, and is he good enough to spell Christian McCaffrey? I don't know. It's just, it's hard to get super excited about the running backs the 49ers actually draft. But you look at Cody Schrader, who's got like a Hollywood movie going on. 6-year senior, used to play for Truman State, said, I'm going to go walk on to the SEC. Walked on at Missouri and just had like the season of his life. He won the, I'm reading this from Chad Reuter's scouting report. He won the Burlsworth Trophy, top player who began his career as a walk-on. He was a finalist for the Doak Walker Award, nation's top running back. He was first team Associated Press All-American, first team All-SEC, led the teams with a school record 1,627 yards, 5.9 yards a carry. He had 1,818 all-purpose yards, 14 touchdowns, started 13 games, had 22 catches for 191 yards, was a team captain. Like, Cody Schrader, the 49ers undrafted free agent running back, is just writing his movie right now. The dude's 5'8 and a half, 202 pounds, and just refuses to be denied what he wants. I don't know if he's going to make this team. I don't know if he's going to get picked up if the 49ers try to put him on the practice squad. I mean, if he shows out in the preseason, he very well could. But like, that, don't the 49ers want to be on the good part of that movie? You know, are the 49ers going to be a team that cut Cody Schrader and then he got picked up by another team and then he just, that's the end of the movie, you know, when he, the crescendo of the movie when, you know, it seems like the end of the movie when he's cut by the 49ers, but then the phone rings and it's, you know, somebody from another team. And then he gets his chance. And all of a sudden, you know, the movie ends with him slow motion running to a touchdown with the defense at his back. And then it cuts to like black. And it's like Cody Schrader ran for an NFL leading 1,600 yards for this team and played a 10-year career. You know, you can already see it. You can already see it. So the 49ers would be wise to be very careful with Cody Schrader so they don't end up being the shitty part of the movie and some weirdo plays Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Anybody with a jawline can play John Lynch in this movie. Obviously, the other running back we haven't talked about now, Patrick Taylor, big dude, 6'2", 217, played for Green Bay, never really got too much action. I don't think he cracks the 49ers roster or the practice squad. I think he's just somebody who's going to get some carries in camp. No offense. That's just what the tea leaves read like. But dude, Cody Schrader, 49ers drafted Isaac Garando. I get it. He's definitely got, he's an athletic freak. We'll see if he can fit in for the 49ers. But the 49ers also signed the Hollywood movie in progress. So just keep an eye out for Cody Schrader. Can he be that next undrafted running back to crack the 53-man roster? We'll see. We'll see, but that man is for real. That man will not be denied. That man will not be denied. All right, everybody. I think that does it. That's quarterbacks. That's running backs. That's random headlines. That's off-season dates. It's not bad. It's not bad. Please, on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast, leave us a 5-star review. They all matter. I promise. They all matter. Hit me up on Twitter if you want, at @Rob_Lowder, Lowder. Tell me how wrong I am about Isaac Garando. Tell me how wrong I am about Cody Schrader. I need to relax. Somebody's already working on the screenplay. I'm just telling you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for lending me your ear. Thank you for supporting the Striking Gold Prize podcast, prizepicks.com/gold, and use the promo code gold. All right, everybody. Appreciate you. But for another episode, I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. We're signing out.